Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet Dr. David Martin.
Thank you very much. Mickey, would you stand up, please? Many of you know me because of the work and the brilliance of this man and his team. And while that's interesting, what you don't know is the speech that I'm about to give is because this man is not just behind the camera. He's actually a brother. And what he did to me a few months ago was he called me and he said, you know what? He goes, you've presented all the facts. You've been out there in front of this thing before that was a thing. He goes, but there's something missing. And the something that's missing is your humanity. What happens when I sit close to you is one thing. And what happens when you're on a stage or on a camera or on an interview is a different thing. He goes, you need to bring the man into this presentation. The presentation that you're hearing today is because I have a brother who holds me accountable. Mickey, thank you. COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2 was a coup d'etat. And let me be precise about what I mean by that. Sedition in the United States is actually defined very simply by when any act is done by a conspiring party or group of parties, its intent is to disrupt or interrupt or overtake the government of a state or a country. And under 18 U.S. Code, the act of sedition was in fact a coup d'etat to ensure that there would not be a democracy in 2018. Okay? And I'm going to present across the next few minutes the evidence of that. And I'm going to end my presentation with a challenge to you. Because during my presentation, the 30 minutes that I have is going to cost two children their life because of the inaction of every attorney general in America, because of the inaction of every U.S. attorney, and because of the inaction of every governor in this country. But my grandfather said, never attribute to malevolence what is ignorance. So in the next 30 minutes, I'm giving every elected official the opportunity to do the right thing. And after 30 minutes, I'm not going to give them that opportunity again. So you got Mr. Nice Guy for 30 minutes. Next. Now, most of you don't know the details of all of the elements. And the good news is I'm going to flip through these slides very quickly because the end of the story is the important part of the story. But for those of you who don't know, COVID is a direct result of HIV, Inc. HIV, Inc. was founded in 1984. Anthony Fauci was the chief architect of HIV, Inc., and his goal was to use sexuality, and specifically homosexuality, as a way to indoctrinate humanity into the acceptance of a universal vaccine mandate. Now, interestingly enough, most of us didn't take the bait. And the reason we didn't is because we didn't live the lifestyles that were associated with HIV in 1984. But cunningly, by 1986, Anthony Fauci and his team at NIAID and his minions at the CDC had convinced each and every one of us that maybe we would be in a car accident, maybe we would get a transfusion, and maybe we would get AIDS, which was the justification for a universal HIV vaccine. in 1984. It's going to get nasty because I'm going to show you some real images from 1984 just to let you see that what I'm saying is not my imagination. But in 1984, something happened. People realized that to accept a universal vaccine, we needed to create a liability shield for the manufacturers of those vaccines. And from 1984 to 1986, we actually built the first ever product immunity in the United States, which allowed manufacturers to kill people with intent. And you heard what I just said, kill people with intent. Anthony Fauci was quoted himself as saying that the ultimate killer of pharmaceutical interventions with vaccines was the smallpox vaccine, which killed one in every 100,000 and injured or maimed one in every 10,000. Did you hear what I just said? Killed one in 100,000, maimed one in 10,000. And that was something that he thought he could turn into a universal vaccine for HIV in 1986. I don't know what an acceptable death rate is for you people, but an acceptable death rate for any product anywhere in the history of humanity, in my definition, is zero. But then a little dirty secret came along. Somebody at NIH said, "Hey, Tony, cool your jets, baby. We have this drug called AZT. And we don't want a vaccine too quickly. We want to kill people with AIDS with AZT. So let's run the clock on it." And the state of North Carolina, and by the way, if you're from North Carolina or you've done anything in North Carolina, you got tar on your heels and blood on your hands. Because the state of North Carolina, since 1986, has been brought to you by HIV Inc. That's a bummer. I think I just lost the elected officials in North Carolina. Shoot, I couldn't even make it through a presentation. UNC Chapel Hill began the weaponization of coronavirus in 1986. But by 1996, Anthony Fauci had a little plan. Coronavirus as a model has a very interesting set of attractive attributes, which include this very interesting thing called a spike protein and a couple other binding sites where the virus allegedly binds to the outside of the cell. And it turns out that Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, was the very first person to figure out how to take a pathogen, which used to be an infection of the gut, gastroenteritis. For over 30 years, coronavirus was gastroenteritis. But Ralph Baric figured out how to weaponize it. And not weaponize the virus, weaponize the spike protein. And he was the one that figured out how to make a thing that used to hit your gut, hit your heart. That was gain of function, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that we never did, allegedly. He did it, and in 1996, he received a grant, and then a series of grants in 1999 by Anthony Fauci, to actually weaponize the coronavirus spike protein so it could be used as a vaccine vector with the idea that it would be the next HIV vaccine. That's when I started watching this. I've been a locust-eating prophet in the wilderness because my first briefing on this was in 1999. My first intelligence briefing on this was in 2003 in a published document that I have sitting on my desk to remind me that sometimes being right isn't as good as being effective. Turns out I was right in 2003, and unfortunately, I wasn't effective. But Fauci ran into another problem. And in 1999 to 2002, and patented by the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and conveniently, in the fall of 2018, do you all remember the big coronavirus outbreak of 2018? No, that's because there wasn't one. But in an unprecedented move, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, was forced to sign their SARS vaccine patent from UNC Chapel Hill back to to NIH. By the way, that hasn't been done. But they did it in the fall of 2018. Does it feel like they were preparing for something? Next slide. Now, do not read this slide, because I used to hate professors who put reading charts and eye exams on slides. Don't read it. With any luck, Clay Clark can figure out how to make all of this presentation available to you, and I hope he does, because that's what it's for. But in 1984, we created the vaccine nightmare, and we let Anthony Fauci have $191 billion. And you heard the number right, billion. We've been told about $3.7 million going to China, and we're supposed to be upset about that. How about $191 billion of your taxpayer money that has gone to weaponize nature against humans? $191 billion. And let's do the little walkthrough, shall we? 1984, we invent the vaccines for HIV, which led to death and permanent disability to over 50% of the participants. But that was okay because they were gay. That was okay. It gets worse, okay? 2001, you remember the anthrax scare, the domestic terrorism scare? Did anybody know that the U.S. military in the spring of 2001 ordered 300 million doses of ciprofloxacin? 300 million doses. Now, we have a pretty compelling army in this country, but with all due respect, 300 million sounds like an every citizen in America. It doesn't sound like every member of the U.S. military. And how is it that at least 5 months before anthrax was released, we ordered 300 million doses of the treatment called ciprofloxacin from a German company called Bayer? That's, by the way, when I started busting these stories, because it turns out that this wasn't the only pathogen that was being developed by the Department of Defense. And it was interesting because in the early 2000s, I started seeing coronavirus show up in a bunch of DARPA contracts and a bunch of DOD contracts. And I'm sitting there going, why would we be doing that? Why would we be taking a thing which was for dogs and porcine? That's pigs, by the way. That's a scientific term for pigs. Think bacon, you got it. Pigs and various other vertebrates. Why would we suddenly be trying to weaponize that and make it hit human lung epithelial cells and human cardiac cells? Why would we be doing that? And why would the Defense Department be doing that? Is that where you expect to go to kind of get your kind of basic treatment programs? No! And you don't go there because it sounds like a weapon system if it's being funded by billions of dollars of Defense Department black contracts, doesn't it? Or is that Dave the conspiracy theorist? Well, let's jump into my favorite 2016 protocol, the AMP protocol. The AMP protocol has a line that I absolutely love. This was when we decided to let the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill develop the HIV vaccine. And it turns out that read what they said about this protocol. It will take place in sites, 24 sites, in Brazil, Peru, and the United States, and will enroll 2,700 men and transgender people who have sex with men. What? That's, by the way, straight out of the protocol. If you don't believe what I say about the fact that Fauci has no concern for human life, but is more than happy to kill people who most people think shouldn't live anyhow, guess what happens? We start introducing the camel's nose under the tent, and we start saying it's okay to kill people in the advancement of science. Now listen, people, listen carefully. I am not advocating for any lifestyle, but what I am saying is that when you've decided that you're playing God and that there is a person by any designation that doesn't deserve to live, you left humanity. Period. period. If any of you see my wife, you know I'm very heterosexual and very happy. But that doesn't justify making a determination that somebody who doesn't share my values is worth killing in the name of HIV Inc. Let's be clear on that. And then 2016, 2019, and by the way, look at 2019. The hepatitis C vaccine, which guess what has to do with, another sexual contact story that they tried to turn into. They were killing people that are promiscuous and usually gay and promiscuous, so we don't care about that. I'd love for some of the bleeding heart left to actually realize that they're the ones celebrating the execution of the people who they allegedly represent. I think that would be a very interesting proposition, because maybe somewhere along the line, we should actually go back to 1984 and look at the ghost of Anthony Fauci in this slide, by the way. If you see the slide that's on the screen, what you'll see is 1984 Anthony Fauci. No kidding, that's what he looked like in 1984. He still looked like that center from the high school basketball team. What? I'm going to tell you, if I had to bet on a basketball team and I knew that Anthony Fauci was the captain of that team in high school, I'd bet against him. And guess what? I'd bet against him now, too, because the dirty little secret is he actually made the statement. It is quite possible, in fact, it's invariable, that we will develop a vaccine for AIDS. Now, you know, sometimes there's things called Freudian slips. People say things and they didn't mean to say it. So I want to give him credit. He probably misspoke. He probably meant to say it's inevitable that we'll do it. But he didn't say that. He said it's invariable that we do it. And it turns out that if you look at the definition of the word invariable, you know what it means? I'm never going to stop doing a thing. Uh-oh. You think we're talking about a COVID vaccine right now? No. We're still talking about Anthony Fauci's fantasy of an AIDS vaccine. Don't make a mistake by being fooled. Next slide. Here's the problem. 1984, he had an epic fail. He tried to make an AIDS vaccine, didn't work. 2005, he tried to do H5N1, epic fail. People died, didn't work, people didn't roll up their sleeves. Epic fail. And then a bummer of an opportunity came along. In 2018, we actually did have an influenza pandemic. We had a lot of people that died. And guess what we didn't do? We didn't shut down countries. We didn't shut down borders. We didn't shut down schools or churches or anything else. We just let people die. And it was seen inside of NIAID as a lost opportunity. Dead people was a lost opportunity. So what he did was he figured out something. And he gave the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill a grant to create a pathogen so that we could actually get, and I'm quoting, the public to accept the need for a pan-coronavirus vaccine. We need the media to create the hype to get to the real issues. We need to use that hype to our advantage. Investors will follow if they see profit at the end of the process. That's a quote. National Academy of Sciences, Peter Daszak, 2015, published in the February 2016 Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. This was not a public health problem. This was a biowarfare act of domestic terrorism meted out on the citizens of the United States and the people of the world. And it was not a lab leak from China. It was not a lab leak from anywhere. It was an intentional weaponization of the spike protein, and it is murder, and we will call it what it is. It was murder then, and it's premeditated murder, and we have to be clear on the fact. In fact, never use the word vaccine again. That's like saying that a gun is a propellant of copper. No, it isn't. It's a gun. Call it what it is. Next slide. And here's where it gets nasty. You guys know the guy on the right. What you don't know is the guy on the left. And here's the story you don't know about the guy on the left. The guy on the left is Alex Azar. Now, what you don't know about the guy on the left is the guy in the portrait further to the left is even a bigger problem, Henry Waxman. Henry Waxman, the patron saint of caring about health, who was the one that made sure every pharmaceutical company got a shield of liability so they could never be held accountable. That Henry Waxman had a very interesting guy appointed by Trump in 2017, Alex Azar, director of the Department of Health and Human Services. What Trump didn't know, what you didn't know, what most of America didn't know, was Alex Azar was an executive, not a physician, an executive at Eli Lilly. And at the time of his appointment, he happened to be under investigation for price-fixing diabetes drugs in Mexico. In fact, during his now found to be collusion and racketeering and price fixing and antitrust violation, which turned out to be held to be exactly what I just said, while he was actually trying to deflect attention from the racketeering that he was doing by price fixing insulin in Mexico, he actually made President Trump sign an order. It was the execution order for Americans. And President Trump was advised by appointed individuals who never told him the facts. This, ladies and gentlemen, was treason. This was treason. And anybody who wants to point the finger at Donald Trump, the best you can do is say he was subject to corruption and maliciousness and treason and traitors within his circle. That's true. But when he signed this, he did not know the cost. He did not know. And the persons who did know was the lobby, PHRMA, the pharma lobby, the single largest donor in U.S. history to political campaigns. They were the puppets that actually put that paper in front of Donald Trump. And Alex Azar was the executive responsible for the death and destruction of America. And you have not even heard his name, because criminals like to put other people up front while they hide in the shadows. Well, guess what we're not going to let happen today? A lobbyist turned executive, turned architect of, oh my gosh, under the Bush administration, Alex Azar was the one who also came up with the PREP Act, which actually shielded companies from liability in the event of a national emergency. Alex Azar is the perpetrator of the largest genocide this country has ever seen, and you do not know his name, but that just changed today. Oops, that was my out loud voice. And it turns out he's the boss of Anthony Fauci, he's the boss of CDC, he's the boss of NIAID, he's the boss of NIH, he's the boss of the FDA, and guess what? He's the first guy that the FBI should cuff, lock up, and put in prison for the rest of his life. That's our target. And don't think I'm actually advocating justice for the sake of justice. I'm advocating justice because the minute we actually have the first felony conviction, the first time, the emergency use authorization vanishes, because it turns out that the emergency use authorization cannot stand if the basis of it was a felony, and that's written into the law. We have one focus. We have one silver bullet. And I am waiting for one AG in this country to stand up and be accountable for the lives that are being lost, because while I'm talking, two children died because they're being murdered by a collusion racket, which is like having Al Capone drive through the streets of Chicago and shoot into a school. You wouldn't sit for that, but you have sat for this. Well, guess what? Not after this. From now on, every hour that you do not follow the instructions I have at the end of this speech, for every hour that you don't take action, another two children die. And I want you to go to bed tonight asking yourself, did you pay attention, or are you cool with two kids dying every hour? I want you to sleep on that. I want you to sleep with that. Because on my watch, that ain't going to happen. Now, I may be David, and I may have a couple of river stones, which I'm going to share with you. And we got a Goliath that we got to work with. That's okay. But let's do the next slide, because I got a punchline, and I'm going to get on schedule, in fact, ahead of schedule. I'm going to end early to respect the next speakers. So here we go. That slide, here's the deal, guys. You're going to share this slide, so I don't have to talk about it, right? We're going to figure out a way to share the slide? Awesome. So I don't have to talk about it, because I do have to talk about this. There are two websites right now, by any grace of God, in the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes or hour, there's going to be 100 websites like this, because what I conveniently did for every attorney general, for every U.S. attorney, for every law enforcement agent in this country, what I did was I went ahead and drafted the indictment notice. The United States of America v. And let's read it out, because that's all the time I have. United States of America v. Alex Azar, defendant. Anthony Fauci, defendant. Peter Daszak, defendant. Ralph Barrick, defendant. FDA, defendant. Start saying it with me, brothers and sisters. CDC, defendant. NIAID, defendant. Moderna, defendant. Pfizer, defendant. We are going to do the following. You're going to go to that website, davidmartin.world or fullyliveacademy.com. There's a button that says AG document. You are going to print that document, and you're going to deliver it to every attorney general in every state. You're going to deliver it to every U.S. attorney. You are going to put them on notice that from this day forward, and literally from this minute forward, every death is on their hands, because they can do something about it. And they have chosen now 4 times in 4 meetings. They have chosen to say, Dave, this is a political, not a legal issue. And that's a quote from AG's offices. Make it a legal issue. And if they haven't made it a legal issue, if you haven't heard that an AG met with me, make it a political issue next year. Because this is our country, these are our children, and we will not let them die on our watch. Ladies and gentlemen, we the people can do something. You now are entrusted with much. And to quote that beautiful narrative in the Gospels, when you have been entrusted with much, even more is required. Guess what? I just gave you the river stones. There's an 8-count indictment, all felonies, all punishable by up to 99 years in prison and up to $100 million fine. And I'm going to tell you today that anybody who works with me on this case has to agree to the following. All of the proceeds that we get from the collections of this lawsuit, and I mean all of them, are going to go to a vaccine injury fund that does not require anyone to prove that the vaccine did anything. Because it turns out that every mother, every father that has a vaccination injured child, whether it was caused by it or associated with it, those people need our help. And every dollar that is ever collected is going to go to make sure that we, the people, honor the fact that real humans have suffered under the hands of a colluding set of conspirators who now it's on us to make sure go away forever. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do it. And today, right after this speech, Mickey Willis and I are going to go back to the booth up there. And we are going to sign books together. So the Plandemic books, if you want them, Mickey and I will be back there. We'll be happy to sign your books. And listen, people, we can do this together. You now have been entrusted with much. Even more is required. Thank you very much. God bless you.